Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
I have heard you talk about your arrow method, but I want to know exactly what that arrow method is.
So lots of people like to ask me this, which is why I'm working on a book about this, and I will tell you the method in the book.
Sell it.
I'm not going to tell you right now. I'm going to tell you in the book. Coming out from Simon & Schuster's, probably the end.
How long is it going to take for this book to get written and published?
Years. It's a long process.
You know what I think you should do?
Yeah.
Tell them in this podcast episode. Then in the book, you tell them to listen to that podcast episode.
Oh, you are good at marketing.
How about that?
Hey, you're hired.
Thank you. Hello, welcome back to Shit They Don't Tell You. I'm Nikki Limo.
What's up, guys? It's Steve Green.
Just Steve Green. That is the only name that he is known by.
That's me.
Anyways, we're doing some more Q&As because since our last Q&A, a lot of people have more Qs to A.
Yeah, let's do it.
And since we are absolute experts in every single field,
unquestioned,
undeniably, we don't have any qualifications, but we are experts. We are going to attempt to answer some of your questions today.
I can kick a dodgeball 30 feet.
That's
a qualification.
Nice.
Thank you.
Wow. If I was an Animal Crossing villager, I'd have a reaction that's like...
I don't know that reference.
You don't?
No.
Oh, you didn't just play for 3 hours this morning while I was prepping a different podcast episode?
No, I played for 4 hours.
Right. True. And you don't have reactions?
I played from 8 to noon.
Jesus. Anyway, we're going to...
Oh, wait.
I'm judging you.
Oh, really?
Because I've moved past my addiction.
When, yesterday?
I broke my addiction, okay? Yeah. It was really hard for me, and I struggled, and I broke my addiction, now... I'm like, you're toxic.
Oh, so can I delete our island and start anew?
No, please don't do it. Please don't do that. We have a 5-star island. I just got gold roses and a lily of the valley.
Can I have your gold roses then? Because you're not going to be playing anymore.
Can't.
What do you need them for?
Bitch, grow your own gold roses. This is about to get violent.
All right.
Anyway, you submitted some questions, and we are very professional, and we are going to answer them professionally.
Yes.
From a professional perspective.
By the way, if you have Animal Crossing questions, please send them to podcast@nikki.limo.
It was a previous habit that I had.
And she has a lot of experience.
I moved on. But I have a lot of experience. So if you need help, let me know. Hit me up. Anyway, our first question is, love you guys. Help. Okay. Calm down. Jeez. Hey, guys. Please keep me anon. I want to start off by saying you guys are awesome. Really love the podcast. They help the day go by fast while I'm delivering people's packages. I'm a FedEx driver. Oh, my gosh. Thank you for your work.
That's awesome. Thank you.
That's really cool. Anyways, I need help/advice. So I have this friend. Me and her have been friends for years, and I've had feelings for her for most of those years. We are so close. We literally talk every day. We tell each other everything. Sadly, she's in a relationship, but the dude doesn't try at all. He doesn't drive or doesn't work. She has to drive to see him, and me and her hang out more than they do. Her family loves me. They've told me they like me better than her man, and I've given her signs, but I guess she doesn't catch him. When it's Valentine's Day or Christmas, our birthdays, we give each other gifts, but she puts more thoughts into mine than her man. I've had to end my relationship because I can't get her out of my mind. I don't know what to do. Everyone keeps telling me to tell her how I feel, but my fear is losing her. Please help.
Just tell her how you feel, asshole.
It's going to come out eventually, or you're going to regret not telling her. And she's
going to,
imagine she moves on.
You'll regret it forever.
It's like Pam and Jim, you know?
Yeah, what, it's like Pam and the guy in the warehouse.
What if Jim never said anything?
Yep.
And then Pam would marry the other dude she was engaged to.
Hey, what about this, man? What if she meets somebody else even? And then she starts going with that guy, and that guy's actually pretty cool, and her family does like them.
Yeah.
You gotta cut this off at the pass, brother.
You gotta
tell it's time
her.
To fucking reach down between your legs, hold your balls, and go, you know what? I like you.
Risking losing her is the only thing that can save her.
I don't even know what that means.
How about that?
I think hold your balls, though, is good advice.
It's a really professional thing that I said. So.
Hold your nuts, and then you gotta say that you like her.
All right.
That's such good advice.
Two different options for you to take. Mine could be put on a plaque, probably.
Hope you do the
and
second
shown
one.
To her parents. And
well, he.
It's very nice.
I can see you guys.
Appropriate.
I picture it.
Okay.
You're at your wedding, and the dad stands up. Okay, and he is the woman's father, and he wants to do a toast, and he's like, I remember when this young man, he came up to my daughter, holding his testicles apparently, and he said, I have feelings for you, and I'm proud of you, young man.
Wait, he said he held his testicles and said to the dad, I have feelings for you?
No. He's recalling the story that his daughter told them.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
okay.
Because that's when he told her that he has feelings for her.
All right. It went a different way, the way you were telling it.
If you only visualized it, you would have seen
it. I was visualizing.
Were you visualizing the champagne in the glass?
Our next question. Okay. Asking BF to get STI test, ? Thank you for choosing my questions. You two are goals. Thank you so much. Hey, I'm Emma. Sorry for any typos. I typed this within minutes. Okay. So I'm the type of person who just cannot sleep around. Part of it is due to medical reasons such as getting STIs from people. My boyfriend and I got a good thing going on. Together for 1.5 years. He's an amazing man. I enjoy his company a lot. I've never been in love, but he's the closest I've ever gotten. I'm very logical and have asked my boyfriend to get tested in the beginning of our relationship when we didn't know each other very well, obviously. I brought it up in a way where we were both comfortable with jokes. He was cool with it. Got it done. Now he's been away back home. Was supposed to be there for a month, but now has been stuck there for over 2 months due to the pandemic. He's supposed to come back in 2 weeks now, the earliest flight he could get since recent inquiry. Although I trust him on some level, however,
You don't trust him. What are you talking about?
I'd like to get him tested again.
What are you talking about?
Even go get tested together before we become sexually active together. Being the practical and logical person I am, but still emotional, I don't want to hurt his feelings or feel like deep down I don't trust him.
You don't trust him.
Is asking him to do this fucking weird?
Yes.
On one hand, I'd be much more 100% laid back and not have any ounce of background thoughts while we're getting down. On the other hand, we are supposed to be each other's life partner, and I actually can see myself being with him for a long time. Is this harmful for our relationship? Am I creating unintentional distance between us? Maybe deep down I don't trust him fully? Side note, his country is known for having lots of casual places where they get happy endings and shit. LOL. He even admitted to me when he was a virgin as a teenage him and his boys have been there where you select a woman and take them to rooms. Eep. Let me know y'all two cents.
Did he say that like I would still do that shit, or is he talking about a young experience he had as a youngin?
I don't know. Context matters.
She doesn't trust this cat, obviously.
Sure. And also, I mean,
she's very technically minded, by the way.
Technical, and also that like she can't say that she loves him.
Correct.
And I feel like when you really love somebody, like it just can't, it comes pouring out of you.
Yes.
Like you can't like stop it. You can't be like, but, well, I think I might like him, love
him. I also think, and this could be a complete bunch of bullshit.
Right.
But I also think that she has a tough time accessing her feelings.
Sure.
So I don't know how well she's able to, it sounds like she has problems communicating how she feels about things sometimes.
But she says she's still emotional.
Okay, so I could have been dead wrong.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, okay.
You're coming at it from a logical perspective for sure, but I feel like when you're in love or when like it's just like you're teeming with how much you're in love with somebody, it almost overpowers logic because love is not logical.
Yeah, but
it's just not.
But to her question, I do think that getting him tested.
I think you don't trust him.
You don't trust him at all. That's all. And then therefore, it's totally fine to ask because you don't trust his ass.
Yeah.
And maybe he's done some shit that you didn't put in that letter that we don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, yeah, I don't trust his stupid ass.
Stupid ass.
But I love him, right?
Yeah.
Or I want to love him.
True. I mean, like my ex, I thought I was in love with him and he was cheating on me with a girl with herpes. Luckily, we didn't have sex after he was cheating on me because I found out about it and confronted the girl. But I'm just saying, like, I wanted to trust him so bad, and he would always say he loves me. He always would try to prove that he was committed to me and would never cheat ever. And he was. So it's never, I mean, if you have those little inklings in you, better to be safe than sorry.
Absolutely. But just know that you do not have a healthy relationship. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Unless this is a learning point, like where, you know, he's totally a good boy and you didn't trust him and then you learn from this or something like that. Right. But I think
I'm not telling her to break up. Right. I'm saying you guys don't have trust. So you got to talk and establish some kind of trust between each other.
I do think that 1.5 years is the make or break it point, like where you should either you have established trust or shit is rocky and you guys are going to break up.
I mean, I never said break up, but
I didn't say it either.
You sure teetered it close to that.
I think that she's okay to ask for an STI test because for some reason, deep down, despite no evidence, you are suspicious of him or like you have trust issues with him.
Correct.
So I do think that asking for one is in your best interest.
Yep.
Even if it might hurt him a little bit emotionally if he's not cheating on you. Anyway, moving on. Can indecisiveness ruin your career path? To start off, I would like to say I started watching both of you from JK and fell in love since. You guys are amazing and inspirational. So decided to watch your podcast recently, and I love it, especially during this quarantine. Oh my God, thank you so much. Please tell your friends.
Please.
And rate us.
Send it to your trapped friends.
Yes, because one of the notes that we've been getting from production is that we need to promote the show more. And we're just not really good at like
pushing our own shit.
Yeah, I don't want to be too in your face about, hey, like, promote our show.
Some people
but, like,
do it so well.
If you do like it, then share it with your friends. It really helps the show out.
Some people can just talk about themselves so
easily. I know. Oh. And why do we both have to be together?
I know.
And neither of us are good at
it. Why can't one of us be the hype man?
Yes. Mm. And then the other one's like, oh, calm down, but keep going.
I don't know, but yeah,
yeah, but keep going.
Exactly.
Right. Okay, so my question is, I'm 25 years old. I went to college in science, which I realized a couple years later that I didn't really like. At the same time, I was working part-time for a couple years, then I quit to work at a bank where I realized I hate it, even though the money was great. So I decided to apply to be in a completely different career, which is to be a flight attendant, and even move to a different province to pursue it. So I'm now a flight attendant, but I realized that something's missing. I used to love it at the beginning, especially traveling, as just as amazing, but then I realized that since I've worked with different people every shift, I feel drained and not wanting to socialize. But people look at me as I'm really antisocial, and they started not being as nice, which I get since I'm really boring, but it's getting not very enjoyable working with people that stare and look down at you very often. With this, though, I realize that maybe this is just not for me, and I'm just really introverted, and being social all the time is tiring. So now I'm going back to school to be in computer science. The reason I chose this path was because there's a guarantee of getting a job, and it pays well since I don't feel like I want to waste my time. And even with this program, it's going to take 4 years to graduate. I guess my question is, did you guys start to know your path a long time ago? And were you sure that this would be your path, even though you were going to give up everything? And is there any advice to be able to discover what might be your path? I've been told that there's always something that you don't like in a job, and you just have to choose one that's less intolerable. Is that true? Is it really possible to find something that you enjoy doing every single day? Can't wait for your response. I'm so sorry if this is long. Thank you. I love you guys.
Well, the core of it should be what you like.
Yeah.
The pain in the ass stuff is like answering emails about it and like doing all this stupid shit that you don't want to
do. Yeah, the administrative work about it, the business side of it. And then also like sometimes if you're forced to put your passion on a schedule, you stop getting as passionate about it.
Yes.
Because it is draining.
I have to do my passion Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays.
Right.
Like YouTubers go through that all the time.
Especially in a creative field.
Yes.
You know, because creativity and emotions are intertwined, and like, you, if you're starting off, it's like you're creating stuff because you feel it, you know?
Right.
And then once you make a living off of that,
you
have to create whether you feel it or not.
Yep. Oh, there's drawbacks too. You're like, I got to wake up tomorrow morning. I got to go drive down Sunset Boulevard, and it's going to be trafficy. And then when I get there, I got to get ready. And then they got to sit in the makeup chair, and I got to memorize my lines. Like, there's a lot of that sucks sometimes. But then when you're on set doing your thing or whatever it is that you're passionate about,
there's still got to be an aspect to it that you are very passionate
about.
Exactly. For sure.
But you'll always find the shitty thing.
Yeah.
Like about it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, for mine, it's definitely like I love what we do, especially this podcast.
Same.
I love coming here. There's only Mark, our producer, in the back there. And so it's like it's just the three of us, and it's not draining. Like Steve and I feel like Steve's energy really helps me. Like it fulfills me. Like that energy is like enhances my already full cup, yes. right? But there are some people that drain me, and like I would teeter to say maybe most people.
Yes.
yeah. True. And I feel like that is a very introvert quality where socializing with people is super draining if they're not the exact type of person that fulfills me, yes. if that makes sense.
It makes full sense.
So working in this industry, a lot of times I'll be working on a gig where I do have to perform or be a coworker with people that are super, super draining. And part of being a professional is just like doing it anyway and being your best self and doing everything that you can regardless of the thing that you don't like or that's draining. So if you are just all you see about flight being a flight attendant is that it's draining and it makes you sad every day, then and there's nothing about it that you're passionate about,
Yeah,
it's definitely not for you.
But see, we just complained about what we do a little bit whilst talking about how much we love it, and that's all we're trying to say.
Yeah, and I think that both of us, yes, we did know our past from a very young age. I mean,
but that doesn't matter.
Since I was like 8, but it really doesn't matter. There are many people that, you know, find their passion way later in life, or they had a different passion and then they found their new passion because of something that happened that they weren't in control
of.
We
get asked this question a lot, and it's really, no two people are the same. You're going to find your own way. But
everyone's story is different.
But you're doing the right thing, I think. You're just trying different shit out, which is good for you.
Yeah, and if you continue, you have the right mindset. There's also nothing wrong with continuously following new passions. So I have a friend. She's been my best friend since high school, and she was studying to be what is it called? An RT. It's a type of nurse that does like radiology.
In
hospitals. RT is RT.
Okay.
A radio something tech. Like, so, I don't know. Whatever. Okay. She gets RT at the end of her name.
Sounds sick.
Gets like initials. But she went through this entire program and it was super, super stressful for her. You had to do like biology, anatomy, biomed, like all those classes. Like, it's very stressful. She also had to intern at a hospital and work long hours without getting paid. There's a lot of just like rude patients and rude hospital staff. Anyway, while she was going through that whole program, she would turn to doing her nails. Like, she got really, really into nail art and everything there is to know about doing nails to get her mind off of the stress that she was encountering during this program. Well, by the end of the program, she got her degree. She even got offered a job at a hospital. And the reason she took this course was because she knew that there was a guaranteed job at the end of it and that it pays pretty well. But it was so stressful that she didn't even want to do it at all. Like, she'd gone through the whole program and didn't even want to do it anymore. But because she was doing other things to get her mind off it, she ended up going to get her cosmetology degree, or like went and became a nail tech. And now she's the head nail tech at a salon because of this passion that she found doing her nails while she was stressed out.
Yeah, she's de-stressing.
This course. Yeah.
There you go.
But now she's kind of getting stressed out from being a nail tech. So she's been baking a lot. Like, she's really, really good at baking like cakes and pies and all kinds of shit. And so she kind of wants to start this side business of like baking stuff. And that's cool too.
Yeah.
Like, so if you change directions and pivot and like follow your passion, like, you, it doesn't matter, it's your life. Like, just do the things that make you happy. I feel like people get wrapped up in the money and security part of stuff a lot. Well, if I do that, I'll lose everything I built. Or if I, you know, what if there's no job at the end of it? You know, do it on the side. Have your job that you hate and then do your passion on the side and see if you like it.
Absolutely.
See if you like doing it consistently, you know. I don't know. Anyway, good luck with that. Next question. So this one is, should I continue? Hey, Nikki and Steve, I love the show, FYI. I just need some assistance. I met this gorgeous girl at a party, and she was all over me, telling me I was cute, trying to dance, and coming on strong. Even though she invited me into her bed, I decided to leave because I didn't want to have sex with a girl that was drunk. Oh, good for you. I left and told her the next day how much I wanted her and thought that she wanted me, since that's what she said. She told me she didn't remember anything from the night before and she was still working things out with her ex. I kind of thought that was it after, but then she invited me over and told me her and him were done, so I thought we were going to start messing with each other. She invited me over a few times after that and we started texting. The confusing part is she responds so slow. I respond quickly, but she takes hours or sometimes days to respond or just simply not respond at all. We haven't spoken or talked for a while because, honestly, I don't know what to talk about. She responds so slow and it's been so boring. In person, I feel a spark, but over the phone, I don't feel any effort. I've only been over maybe 3 times, but I'm unsure if I should try to rekindle this or just leave it alone. Thanks for helping. By the way, shout out Big Mood, shout out Conspiracy Corner. Our competitors.
Oh, don't shout out competitors.
Except for Big Moody, she's over there too.
Chief competitors.
She's not into you. She's trying to be nice.
And second of all, I have sex with a drunk girl all the time. I don't think it's bad to have sex
with
her.
Well, you're legally wed to her, so.
Okay, I just
feel like she
make
won't
sure.
complain too much because she'd have to prove a lot.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
Also, Steve treats drunk me like she's a separate person.
I do. It's very fun. And I treat it like I'm having an affair with her. Yeah. Because you are very different when you're drunk.
Yeah.
And so I'm always like, oh, you're back. You're my
different
favorite.
Different now? What? What do you like more about her?
I'm like, you're my favorite, Nikki.
I know.
She's just so smiley and fun and like has fun, a lot of
fun.
Oh,
she's not a huge bitch? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, she's way less bitchy.
Damn. I heard she likes a lot of snacks, though.
She loves snacks.
Like, she demands them.
She demands dark chocolate and snacks.
Well, see?
But I love her for it. It's
when you're
cute.
With me, I'm like, healthy shit. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good, too.
Right? You love it. When I cook broccoli, you love it?
That was good.
All right. Anyway, yeah, I've definitely been in the girls' position here before where I'm trying to get over my ex, so maybe I'll flirt with a guy that I know is into me or whatever. And I'm
Wait,
not saying
when?
This is cool
when is
to
this?
Do.
This is years ago, obviously.
Yes,
no,
yes.
I know, but when did you do this?
Like yesterday, but
no,
like,
but contextualize it for me.
Oh, okay. So it was after my last breakup. I've been a serial monogamist, so there's only really one period of time I've been single. But I'm trying to get over my ex, so I start, you know, a guy gives me attention, and maybe I think I like them even because
right.
I'm just like so starved for attention because the way that things went with me and my ex that I'm like, ooh, this feels good. And then like maybe I flirt back, and like even in some moments, especially drunk moments, I would want to have sex with them. Like I would feel the urge to. But then the next day after I'm sober and I'm missing my ex and I'm like, you know, romanticizing the past and stuff.
Of course.
That guy is just a stranger. Like, he doesn't compare.
Do you hear that? You're just a stranger.
You're just like, honestly, and I can't speak for her because maybe everybody's different, but I can say that if I'm slow to respond, I'm not that into you.
There is a key to this too. There's a big hint. She was only all over him when she was drunk.
Yeah.
After that, she hit him up, but it wasn't like.
And you don't know if she invited you over because like maybe she had a screaming phone call with her ex and then she's like, I'm going to fuck someone just to spite him or something. You know, yeah. I don't know. There's so many.
So many healthy women
I
out there.
I think the key part of this is that she is slow to respond, because when you're into someone, you're not slow to respond.
No.
And especially not multiple times consistently.
You can't wait to hear from them.
Like sometimes if you're busy, maybe you're slow to respond, or if you've been slow to respond if one person's been slow to respond and then they try to match that.
Yeah.
But
or I'll be slow to respond if like, you know, I just got into a fight with this individual because they were trying to take a shower, but I had just taken a shower, and so the hot water wasn't back yet.
What individual is that?
Just like whatever individual.
Oh. Because it sounds like familiar, and I don't...
No. This is like from the eons ago.
Oh, so. Okay, good.
Yeah.
What a bitch like, that person was.
Yeah, so like, right. So you're not like exactly excited to respond to them.
All right. Well, yeah. Hope that helps. I wouldn't continue to pursue it. I think she's using you, but that's just me.
That's tight.
Yeah. All right, help me remove our arrows. Let's pretend my name is Bella. Okay, hi, Bella.
Hi, Bella.
Hey, Nikki and Steve, you are why my relationship has been improving and why I don't completely lose my shit at work for the last almost year. I have been listening to your podcast. Aw, thank you.
See, we don't just break people up. I tell people that all the time.
We help. We are
And they're like, you broke me up. And I'm like, all right, pal, get out of my driveway.
Yeah, get out of here. Hey, break up again, just for that.
Yeah.
I have heard you talk about your arrow method, but I want to know exactly what the arrow method is. I feel like there may be some things my boyfriend and I are holding on to from a rocky point in our relationship. I have talked about the method before since my boyfriend knows about you and Steve from JK News. He wanted to try it, but we couldn't find out how to do this method anywhere. Even when I tried looking on both of your YouTube channels, Nikki, can you both explain the method and how my boyfriend and I can apply it to our relationship? Thank you, and I love you both. Icebreaker and Ice Dude, or whatever your name is.
What the
LOL.
Fuck? Are you kidding me, dude? Are you kidding
me,
bro?
She has a winky face.
She's the Ice Man.
Bella.
Okay, Bella. So, lots of people like to ask me this. Which is why I'm working on a book about this, and I will tell you the method in the book.
Sell it.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell you right now. I'm going to tell you in the book. Coming out from Simon & Schuster's, probably the end of
How long
year.
Is it
going
to take for this book to get written and published?
Years. It's a long process.
You know what I think you should do?
Yeah.
Tell them in this podcast episode, then in the book, you tell them to listen to that podcast episode.
Oh, you are good at marketing.
How about that?
Hey, You're hired.
Hey, thank you.
Okay, here's what you do, Bella. Arrow Method is all about shedding the past, letting go of the things that the arguments that you guys have had that you still use against each other, whether you're actually acknowledging that you're doing that or not, right? It's about bringing up all the bullshit that you guys did to each other. So, for example, if it was, say, and I'm just spitballing here, Nikki likes to think that she can just take a shower whenever she wants and there's going to be hot water. And she likes to think that even though she knows for a fact, and this is just, I'm spitballing here. This is just creating this. Even though she knows for a freaking fact that I take a shower every single day, cause I have to, mm-hmm. because my hair gets oily and I can't handle being all oily like that. She still just tries to take a shower at random times. And then she expects me to have not taken a shower, which I take a shower every single day.
And another part
Whereas if she had just told me, Bella, if she had just told me, hey, I'm taking a shower today, it's on her to tell me that because I'm the one who takes a shower every day.
And Bella, part of the Arrow Method is to not re-argue about it, so not start a fight again. So the person that has the complaint,
letting go of
the
resentment.
Get to complain. And then if that's something that's really been hurting them, the other person says,
let it go.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I took a shower. I won't take anymore.
And are you sorry?
I won't do it anymore.
No, are you sorry?
I'll never take a shower again.
That's not what... No.
I'm so sorry.
Are you sorry?
I'm so fucking sorry I took a shower.
That's not what I want you to be sorry about. I want you to be sorry, in this hypothetical, mm-hmm. I want you to be sorry that you know I take a shower every single day. You know that I do that.
You want me to be sorry that you take a shower every day?
The day... that you're taking a shower so that we can communicate about it because you know I'm taking a shower. You know I am. I take one every single day.
Because maybe you sleep until fucking noon and I needed to take
a... I didn't sleep until noon.
Maybe you needed to sleep until noon.
It was 10:15, bitch.
It was 11:30 today.
Today? I'm not talking about today. I'm talking about eons ago.
So because of your irregular other schedule, yeah, you take a shower after you wake up and sometime before you leave the house.
And then what I would say in this situation,
this is a hypothetical,
is that
situation.
I'm sorry that I was up for 6 nights in a row working on scripts. I'm really sorry about that, actually.
Not my problem.
I'm very sorry that I was up until 3 a.m. working on scripts.
So then again, I'm trying to own this and say, I'm sorry for taking a shower. You know what? It will never happen again.
See, and that's a petty way to deal with it.
And then what you do is that person that had the complaint takes the arrow out, breaks it, and this is important because, yes. You know, you might sound cheesy, but really, like, actually break it over your knee. And they're never allowed to bring it up again.
Yes, because you have let it go. If you can take it out, then you're acknowledging that it's time to let it go, and you won't bring it up again because that's key.
True. Yeah.
Okay.
No more bringing it up. But you have to really forgive them.
Yes.
So, like, they apologize. Maybe they work it up. Maybe they have, like, some sort of, hey, here's where I was coming from on that. I'm sorry it hurt you. Like, I didn't mean it that way. But I am sorry. Like, I'm very sorry that it hurt you. If they apologize and they own everything that hurt you, you have to actually forgive them. And that is the key to the breaking the arrows part. Because a lot of people will say, like, oh, it's okay, or thank you for apologizing. But they don't actually forgive them.
Fuck no. And because you didn't clean the wound out either.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if me and Nikki get into an argument, sometimes there are stages to the argument, right? Where it's like phase one is... just figuring out exactly what happened, right? Mm-hmm. And then phase two is usually like digging deep into exactly why
it hurt you.
It hurt your feelings and why I fucked up. And then once it's all on the table, there's like this release that really does happen. Where like we really do let it go.
It's like you put the guts and it's all bloody, it's all over the table, and then you can just like clean it.
You clean the wound out.
Clean it completely.
But to clean the wound out, you gotta get everything in there. All the splinters, all the fucking bullshit.
If there's anything left in there, it's not gonna be completely healed.
And you will still use it against them when you're arguing about something lame like a shower.
It actually gets infected if you leave arrow pieces inside of you.
Exactly.
The wound does not heal properly.
So it's big boy shit and big girl shit. So
yeah.
As long as you're able to really move on, that's when you do the arrow method.
And both partners kind of have to be in agreement and be on the same level about it. Like, then you take it seriously and like,
hey, I love you enough. I want to move past all this shit.
Yeah.
I want to forgive you.
Yeah.
And also, I want to find out what I did wrong. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of, I don't want to find out what I did wrong. I want to find out what you did wrong. And I want to be right now. But if we find out what each other did, even when one person completely fucks up, right? Like if I just yell at Nikki for some stupid reason. Okay?
For taking a shower.
Right. Even so if sorry. It was just on me for that, right? Usually there is a second side of the story. Why did I yell at Nikki for that? This isn't about putting...
the surface level problem.
Right, right. And this also isn't about leveling the playing field where it's like, well, you did something wrong too. It's really just about why exactly did I flip out about that,
mm-hmm.
right? And then trying to understand that while apologizing for the way that I handled it
yeah,
is the mature way to do it.
Right. And like recognizing if it had been a pattern, like is it because this is the fifth time this has happened and I didn't bring it up the other four times.
Exactly.
And so now I'm snapping what seems like out of nowhere to the partner. That's also just something like that's part of it. Part of like evaluating why.
And it seems very silly. The whole I'm taking out an arrow of out of my body right now.
Yeah.
I'm saying exactly what it was that we're moving past. And then I'm breaking it over my knee. It seems very lame, right? Something I probably would have laughed at 10 years ago mm-hmm. in my creative movement class in LA acting school. But you know what? It really is the best symbolic way mm-hmm. that you and your partner looking at each other, acknowledging this issue, and then saying we're moving on. That's all that's about.
Yeah.
So if you want to do it in some other weird way, go for it. But this way has worked for many people that yeah. are close to us. And by the way, this is... our arrow method. Everyone likes to give credit to other people at JK for the fucking arrow
oh,
method.
Oh, yeah.
This is our
Fuck
fucking
you
thing.
Guys.
Fuck you guys. Fuck you so hard.
Who came up with this metaphor?
This is us.
Mm-hmm.
This is our fucking
it's
thing.
Very true. We're going to fucking trademark it.
Hell yeah, we are. We need to because it needs
Make
to protect
sure it's
ourselves.
A, before the book comes out.
I'm sick of it. They're like, oh, this JK arrow method. I'm like, no.
Bitch.
Sorry, bitch.
Excuse us.
This is us.
That's a new arrow for us. Okay?
Yeah, it
we
is.
Gotta, it's still in there.
Big time.
We are still hurt.
Big time. How about they have teaching good things in a bad way, whatever the fuck that means, okay?
Yeah, we should steal it. Yo, should they don't tell you we teach good things in a bad way?
Hey, we teach good things, but we teach you it in a bad way. You go sell that to somebody.
Dick.
I never got it.
You know what I think it is, too?
Good things in a bad way.
You know what I think it is, too, about the arrow method? That even though it is cheesy, per se,
yeah.
but like you're both visualizing an actual thing breaking and being removed, being gone. Destroyed
yeah,
forever
right.
like with that visual
together you're mm-hmm. looking at the same thing
and so it's like you both recognize that a thing happened
we moved on from it
yeah.
together
mm-hmm.
yep
I think that's
there's the arrow method for you surmised
there you go
into
hopefully you find it because I don't know what we're titling this video so hopefully
definitely
you find
not the
it
arrow method
yeah
definitely not the arrow method
definitely not
no
I'm just kidding okay how about this
all right.
My life is a mess please help. Hey, Steve and Nikki, I love you guys and your podcast. Thank you so much. I listen every week on my commute to see my friends on the weekend who are about an hour away. Wait, she sees her friends on the weekend. All
wow,
right.
Good for you. Good for you.
I would
Take
like
a stand.
To stay anonymous if I can. Also, I'll try to keep this short and sweet, but try to paint a picture. I'm a little drunk, though. Anyway.
Good opening.
The past year of my life has been really rough. I've been going through a lot. I broke up with my boyfriend of 5 years and have been dealing with lots of family stuff lately. I met a guy at a concert a few weeks after my boyfriend and I broke up, and we spent the whole night together and continued to see each other afterwards. When I met him, I told my best friend,
Oh, shit.
I just found my person, and she totally agreed. I've never said that
she
about someone
word,
ever. Though. She's a little drunk, okay?
Okay.
I've never said that about someone before, but he also just got out of a 7-year relationship when we met as well. We continued to see each other for a few months and got really close, but then he decided he just wanted to be friends and wasn't ready for a relationship, which is fair. I would say I consider him to be one of my best friends even a year later, and I've actually become very close with his sister-in-law and brother. She's one of my best friends now, and him and I still talk all the time. We continued to be friends with benefits for a while, but decided we should stop because it wasn't healthy for us. I think he's my person, and by the things he does, you can tell he still cares about me very much. I guess my question is, do you think I should still wait around for him, or should I move on? I'm nervous to move on because then what if he's ready to date when I find someone new? Or what if he doesn't want to be my friend anymore if I get a boyfriend? I also haven't found anyone that I like as much as him or treats me the way he does. I just feel like I have a lot of anxiety about the situation at times, and I don't know what to do. Please throw any advice you have my way. I know you'll tell me like it is.
Sounds like you're ready. Sounds like he's not ready.
Right. I mean, honestly, I think you need to draw a line in the sand because
yep.
not living your life because of ifs and maybes and like what if, but then
I'll wait
lose
a little
him.
Bit longer.
Yeah,
10 more days, 20 more days.
Letting someone know that you're that free and open to like be on their whim
exactly.
is not attractive. And also it's just not healthy for you because you need to set boundaries. That's not fair to yourself.
You're cranking yourself down several floors.
Yeah.
When you should be at a high level of real estate, in my opinion. But instead, you're going, I'm available to you no matter what. Like, I'll be available to you.
Yeah.
And that's not.
You got to draw a line in the sand. You got to be like, hey, I really like you, and I think you're my person. I mean, I love, or maybe you don't have to say that out loud to him, but like, you could say like, I think you're everything I would want in a relationship or in a partner. I know you've expressed that you're not ready at this time, but I have to go live my life. So let me know, and just kind of like draw that line. And if they get back to you and say, hey, still not ready, you just got to move on.
My chick, do you watch television? Do you watch late night television? Have you seen ads run against, I don't know, like the Carson Daly Show or whatever that is now?
I don't know.
Where they're like, you got to act now. You want to buy this shit, you got to act now, right?
Yeah.
There is an urgency that happens with relationships too, where it's like, yo, I got to act now. I got to, if this is my person, I got to jump now. I got out of a fucking long-term relationship. 9 days later, I'm with Nikki Limo. I could have not acted now, but I was like, oh, this deal's too good to pass up. It's I like, got to fucking act
it's
now.
It's like toilet paper. Before, it was just everywhere. It was in bulk everywhere. And I even yelled at Steve for getting a Costco-sized package of it.
Pissed.
Because I was like, we're two people.
We don't need as much toilet paper.
And by the way, it's been eight weeks of quarantine, and I've only gone through three rolls. So I was like, why?
That's not healthy.
I'm just saying. What?
That doesn't sound healthy.
That is healthy. I don't have massive diarrhea every day, so it's pretty healthy.
Well, that is healthy.
Anyway, but yeah, once toilet paper was fucking scarce.
You mocked me.
Then everyone wants it.
Yep.
Be toilet paper.
Was I?
Don't be toilet paper early 2020. Be toilet paper now 2020.
Will you admit that I was a fucking hero for getting that toilet
you
paper?
You were a hero in your idiocy. Your idiocy saved the
day. I was a silent guardian.
You didn't know
I was a
there
watchful
was a,
protector.
You did not know a pandemic was coming.
What I did protected our house and our household.
It did not.
How didn't it?
Well,
we didn't
it
have to
did.
Go stand in a bunch of lines going to get toilet paper. We didn't have to go robbing fucking people's houses for toilet paper, did we?
No, we did not. We did not have to rob anyone's
house
for toilet
paper. Thank
you
for that.
I have thanked you for that. You just want
me
to. You just want to keep me doing it. This is an arrow.
We do it publicly.
Thank you. We gotta go to a break.
Thank you. That was really nice. We were back.
Thank you to our sponsors. We're going to go.
Oh, shit. That was good. Yeah.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angie.com.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We just want to take a break to tell you to like, thanks for listening to our podcast. And if you want to rate it, that would be really awesome for us.
Listen, we're on break. We're not talking to you like podcast hosts right now. We're just talking to you like people.
As a friend.
And we just want to say, please rate the show because it helps out huge amounts.
Like, we're not desperate. We're, like, kind of desperate.
We're giving shout-outs right now to all the people who are giving it ratings. So, huge shout-out right now to Brian Jorgensen. That was sick of you, dude. Thank you. God bless. Huge shout-out right now to Mark W. in Springfield, Connecticut.
Back to our podcast.
Jenny Blake.
Hey, back to our podcast.
In Tuscany,
and
Florida.
Back to our podcast.
God bless you. Thank you.
Steven.
Thank you for supporting the show.
And we're back. Thank you so much to those sponsors. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Really saved Thanks,
us.
Guys.
Really saved us.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. This question is prioritizing family over partner. Hey, Nikki and Steve, I think I have an interesting one and wonder if either of you have experienced something similar or could help me better understand. I'm 25 years old and in a 4-year relationship with my boyfriend. When we started dating, I'd say my relationship with my parents was at its worst, been basically no relationship. I definitely found escape through my boyfriend and friends. I've since repaired my relationship with my parents in the past 2 years and have now really enjoyed our time together. I feel like a long-standing void has been repaired, and I owe a lot to my boyfriend for encouraging my improvement in communication skills and family values. So my boyfriend and I are nearing the next milestone of moving in together, just working on our savings. I want to build a life with him, but I'm feeling less and less excited about this. It's weird, but I feel so happy with this relationship with my family, I'd be content with being single, as long as I have them. I don't know if this is a relatable feeling. Sounds like I've digressed back into a child, lol. I guess this is a new feeling for me, as I've never had that family relationship, so I don't know if people just have a healthy way to balance biological family and spousal relationship, for lack of a better term. Among work and family, I notice that I'm prioritizing my boyfriend lower and lower. I've started to sleep over at my boyfriend's less, as I just want to be in my own space where all my work is available. And I've increasingly wanted to be with my family in my spare time. He has a close family too, and we currently spend equal time with each other's family. I wouldn't want to take that time away from his family just to spend more time with me and my family. I'm aware that this is unfair on my boyfriend. While he's happy for my happiness, he also noticed a plateau with me and our relationship. I don't doubt my love for him, but I'm finding so much fulfillment from work and family at this time. I don't know what to make of this. I'm really interested to hear what you both think. Thank you, Anonymous. I don't think that you love your boyfriend romantically. That's my initial take.
Damn.
I think that, and this is not wrong. A lot of people see their significant other this way as a unit to build a family with rather than prioritizing the romantic aspect of it. So it sounds like you're describing like, oh shit, like I want to build a life with him, but you know, I feel stronger about this family than I do about this family. And so you're looking at the boyfriend as more of a family unit rather than as like, romantic partner.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I think you nailed it.
And because you've now repaired the family unit with your family, your biological family, you're not feeling that void as much. Like you're not feeling like you lack that family aspect.
Right. So you're not overdoing it with the person that you were doing that with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I do think there are probably a lot of psychological issues of you not getting the type of attention you needed as a child, and now you're kind of like getting that in adulthood. Because you said, she said in there that she has digressed. She feels like she's digressed back into a child. I think there's a thing called your inner child, right? And that's a psychological thing. So you have this inner child, and basically any needs that weren't met as a child, you somehow act out as an adult. Like you are subconsciously are trying to fill those needs or meet those needs as an adult. And one of the things that an exercise we used to do in therapy was like basically talking to that inner child and like figuring out what her needs were and like all of that stuff and doing like a lot of healing in that way. Something to look into. I don't know, because I don't really know a lot about that outside of my own issues.
Yeah, I got nothing out of that.
Yeah. So I don't know. I guess I would just, I don't think I would move in with my boyfriend, because usually at this point you'd be pretty excited to move
in
with a partner.
You're always excited for usually, unless it's like necessity. But even then, there should be some kind of excitement going on.
If you're already craving your own space and you don't even live together yet, it's going to get nuts. Because I think what moving in together does is speeds up what was inevitable anyway. So if you were meant to break up, moving in is going to make you break up faster. If you were meant to stay together, it's going to make you stay together quicker, like get married and progress quicker in that way. But it doesn't sound like you're very excited to move in with him.
No. I mean, read your email again. You're not excited about it.
Yeah. I think that's what it takes sometimes, is just like writing all your thoughts and feelings out and then realizing like, oh shit.
Oops.
I don't think I'm into my boyfriend.
Yeah, which is okay.
I think he fulfilled a need. Like maybe you guys had some sort of spiritual contract, you know, and he fulfilled that like need of getting task of getting you and your family back together, but now his job's done.
Right.
That's sad for him, but I think he deserves better and you deserve better.
Agreed.
So. All right, next question. Let's see. This one says best podcast ever.
True.
So I'm going to pick that one. Hey, Nikki and Steve. Oh, this is kind of long.
Okay. Hey, Stephen, Nikki, I'm going to say something you guys already know. Shit They Don't Tell You is the best podcast ever, and its hosts are the best people ever. Mwah, mwah, sup, sup. That's a Filipino thing. You read it like mwah, mwah. Oh, chop, chop. It's like a kissing sound. So I'd like to say anonymous, but my name is blank. Why would you say your name in this? I'm going to read it. I'd like to say anonymous, but hi, Nikki and Steve. I'm 17 years old. I'm from California, but I moved to the Philippines indefinitely. I've been here since 2015, and to be honest, I still haven't really adjusted. I was very depressed for the first 3 years, but on the bright side, I lost a lot of weight from it. Then from 2018 to present, I just stopped caring and decided to stop being a bitch about it. I've gone to 3 schools in the 5 years I've been here. One school I went to was on the very poor side of Bataan, so the culture shock was fucking crazy, bro. But on the bright side, I got a lot of funny stories from that school. Second school was also in the same area, but it was more on the richer side. You could see the difference in people. On the poor side, people didn't have class, but they were fun and had your back. On the richer side, people had class, but everyone was faker. I'm trying to like sum this up a little bit. Let's try to look on the bright side of everything, because even though I lost all that weight from depression, it wasn't fun. So I try to stay positive now. To be honest, finding you guys and JK helped a lot. So you guys literally saved me. Oh, thank you.
Aww.
That's awesome to hear. My problem is I don't know when I'm going home. I really, really, really don't like it here. And I'm actually really, really, really sad about it. I've talked to my parents about all of this and how I feel about it, but they really don't understand. And when I found out we moved here because of money reasons, I felt guilty to bring it up again. Plus, I hurt my mom a lot because of it, and I don't want to do that again. I actually visited the States back in 2017, but that didn't help. It was like I got a sample of something that I can't actually get, and it brought me back into depression. Every time I open up to someone about it, like my sister or my friends, they either tell me that what I'm going through is nothing or they don't understand. So my question is, what can I do? School is hell because I don't fit in. Home is hell because I have to put up an act. And I technically don't have any family I can go to here because of hardcore Filipino family drama. Plus, all my friends think I'm intimidating because I only speak English. To be honest, I actually can speak Tagalog, but I have to act like that so they don't take off the Filipino subjects in my schedule. I deserve an Oscar for my performances of acting dumb at school. I've learned how to keep a straight face from watching Steve from gambling. I'm sorry this was longer than...
Some people have said I have a gay face, but thank you.
A gay face?
I get that a lot.
Is it from your mom?
I think so, my mom's side.
Okay. I'm sorry this was longer than the Iceman's wiener. I hope you know. I know you and the Miracle Man don't like it when it's too long. This is the first time I've opened up about this in a long time. I actually drafted this a couple times, so it wasn't the shortest. Sorry. But by the way, I'm actually planning on doing stand-up and using the stories I got from living here as material the moment I set foot onto American soil. Thank you for picking mine, and I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. Again, this was so freaking long. You guys are awesome, and I wish both of you guys the best in your career and your relationship. From a sad boy.
Aww. We love you, sad boy.
We love you, sad boy.
You gotta, you know... You know what you want. That's great.
So yeah.
It's time to take steps towards getting there.
I also feel like I'm not trying to invalidate your feelings. Your feelings are very valid, but it's also, even though you're in a different country, it's very typical feelings of an average 17-year-old. Like, mm-hmm. When I was 17, I fucking hated everything in my household too.
Me too.
I felt like I didn't have a place to safely express my feelings. I felt like when I went to work, I didn't have friends at work, and then I came home and I hated living there. I wanted my own space.
Yeah.
And I was 17, so I couldn't go get my own space, and so it was very, very, very frustrating.
I hated family movie night. My dad would pick out the fucking lamest shit.
Yeah.
Ever. I mean, it was all like that, right?
It was like, very like my house, my rules. So right. I'm like, I get it, but also I felt very repressed.
I'll never forget one Christmas. Were you there for that?
What?
We had to watch Santa Claus 3.
Yes.
What the fuck?
I think,
man?
I fell asleep.
My dad picks the wackest ass shit that we gotta watch sometimes.
That's,
I'm like,
true.
What are we watching a family movie for?
But also, your sister doesn't like good movies.
I know,
so
exactly. That's exactly right. Look, see, exactly. We're bitching about family. Everyone's got that cannonball in their cannon. Okay.
And it's hard, man. Like I relate now as an older person, you know, being in my 30s, I can only relate to what they were going through, like having to raise a family and then dealing with financial issues and trying to keep it secret, and them, like, they probably didn't feel like they had control over their own house that they were paying for because they got stupid kids living in it and like teenagers bitching about everything, and like they go to work every day to pay for the house and they don't even get to like have their privacy,
and they don't get appreciation because they're like, I do all this shit and you still bitch about everything.
Yeah.
So we get both sides, right?
Yeah.
I was on both sides of the coin. Although I don't have kids.
Yeah.
But I can relate.
Sometimes I imagine how stressful it would be to have kids because I'm like, I paid for all this and now I have to go share
you
with someone.
It
who's not going to appreciate it?
Our fucking kitties, frankly. They bitch all the time about all kinds of things. Yeah. And we're like, we give you such a good life.
You're spoiled. You don't even know. You have no idea.
And you don't, they have two parents who are home with them at like all
day.
All
the time.
Like, that doesn't happen in kitty world, okay?
Yeah.
A lot of kitties go days without seeing their people.
Yeah, or they have to wait till the very, very end of the day to see their people.
These kitties, we feed them twice a day. They get the wet food. They have a good life, but they still find a way to bitch.
And if I close the door to my office because I just need to get some work done for a couple hours,
they bitch about it. And they claw the door. And you know what? It's a little outrageous. They should be. I wish we could take them to see how other kitties live, so that they could see how good they got it. But
take them to the shelter.
Exactly.
Let them look at all those kitties.
Yep.
Yeah.
But we just end up adopting those kitties.
Yeah,
frankly.
It's just true. It's true.
So we don't go there. But okay. So point being, you're 17. You're closer now than you're closer today than at getting an independent lifestyle.
Yeah.
Than you were yesterday. Okay. You're closer than you've ever been. 18. You're going to be 18 soon. You can start to take steps towards saving money, getting a nest egg together so that you can move to the States and live here and get a job and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and I think what you're doing is healthy too, like finding an outlet for depression and all those things that bum you out, like writing bits and eventually perform stand-up. I think that having a light at the end of the tunnel, something that you can look forward to doing, is definitely really healthy. And just, you know, realizing you're not alone.
You're ahead of a lot of people right now. You already know what you want, and you know maybe what your outlet's going to be. That's big, bud. That's big. Just be proud of yourself. Pat yourself on the back a little bit. Give yourself a little bit of juice for it, because that's good.
And you're so young.
You're a little baby.
Okay. I just want to hug you and let you know everything's going to be fine.
Yeah, we want to just dress you up like a little baby. Give you a little.
I had the problem you're having. I had it until I was 21. Because I just couldn't get my shit together to move, and I was just figuring things out, and I wanted to move to LA. My parents wanted me to finish college in Santa Barbara. I ended up dropping out of college. So it was like a lot. And like, it was a lot of just like, I want to get out of here, but
yeah,
I can't.
I had the same thing. And I was working for my dad at the time, and business was going south a little bit, and I felt obligated to be there. But at the same time, I was throwing myself into improv 4 or 5 nights a week.
Yeah.
So I was gone all the time. Like, basically, I would work, and then at night, I'm an improv, and then and that's my outlet, right? So you got to just find your little outlet and then take an improv class. That's what we tell everybody here.
Yeah. Thank Mine you. Was stand-up, actually. Like, when I'd go to work, I was a waitress, so I'd always pick the longest shifts, too, because I just didn't like being at home.
Right.
And I would go to work, and then when I was not working, I'd be writing stand-up bits and, like, figuring out open mics that I could perform them at, figuring out my next performance schedule, and making, like, just honing these bits, and like watching videos, listening to stand-up comedy, buying albums. Back then you had to buy CDs to listen to stand-up. But yeah, I think just having an outlet and know your goal and just keep working towards it.
Do you remember when they had those CD Walkmans?
Yes, those CD Walkmans.
Did you ever try running with those things?
Discmans.
It's a goddamn pointless.
Yes, I did.
Pointless.
But don't act like you ran.
I did. I did.
Okay, you ran cross country or whatever. No, not cross.
Yeah, I did track, fucker.
You did sprint.
Yeah.
You can't run long.
Not long distances. No. But I'd do like CDs. Like, I'd have the CD player.
Yeah.
And with the headphones on. That thing's like, it's like, that.
The whole kids time. Will never know.
They'll never know how hard that was.
An actual Walkman with a tape deck was actually better for running than a CD.
So I was like, we've regressed. Technologically, we regressed.
But then my favorite era was the mini iPods, the one with the dials.
Oh my
And
God.
Then I got an armband.
Me too.
When I put that on, and I'd go to the gym and have my armband. And we didn't have wireless headphones, so like, you still had to plug that shit in.
It was sick.
It was like, oh my God, look at me. I'm moving. I'm so free.
It was so cool.
And it doesn't skip?
Didn't skip.
Unless you accidentally burned the CD and the CD skipped while you were burning it, and then it skipped in the same spot every single time.
Critical flaw. Yeah. Many did.
Yes.
Many did exactly that.
Yeah.
That, to this day, the downloading Napster era is why I don't know very many band names, but I do know their music. That's why.
Yeah.
And I actually got caught one time because I was just clowning on somebody. I was at some party, and this guy liked Weezer, and I was like, Weezer sucks. You know, I'm just being an asshole.
Yeah.
And then somewhere during the same party, a song got brought up, and I was like, oh, that song's sick. And they're like, that's a Weezer song. And I was like, oh, shit.
A whole dumbass.
I got pants.
I love when you get pants.
But isn't it fun to just say Weezer sucks? I just think it's so fun.
No, it's not.
It is fun.
I love Weezer.
You can love
pick
music.
A different band.
No, but it's funny to say some band and then they suck.
Oh, they, you suck.
Yeah, they suck. It's just so
you
funny.
Pick Smash Mouth. I feel like that's a good one to hate on.
But everyone a lot of hates people on hate Smash Mouth. I want to like them now.
I actually really liked them in the 90s before Shrek. The pre-Shrek Smash Mouth I thought was pretty cool. And then Shrek just kind of ruined them.
Yeah, well, they kind of ruined themselves.
True.
I mean, did you see the footage of the band leader yelling at some guy?
Yes, I did.
He's like,
that actually made me like him more.
It made me like him more too. He's this guy in the crowd. He's like, "Yo, Smash Mouth sucks, fucking ass, dude." And he's like, "Hey, badass, why don't you get up here and say that shit to me?" I fucking love that video. Definitely look that one up. That video can make me laugh so hard I can't breathe because he's taking it so serious.
Yeah. All right. Next question. Yeah. Please keep me anonymous. Hey, Nikki and Steve, I've loved your content for years. Aw, you're both hilarious. I'm a 23-year-old female and have a relationship question for you.
Look at this crossover, dude. We got the young kids, man.
Yeah, we're hip. We're fucking hip. Look at us.
Our boomer status is
shrinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we're going.
Oh yeah.
Way
we're
up
hitting
on
this
the
Gen Z. Is 23? I think 23 is the borderline between millennial and Gen Z.
I'll never know.
I'm kind of a boomer.
I'm a total boomer. I got an abacus. I don't have my abacus.
I've been with my boyfriend for 4 years. He's great and he's got a good job and we're planning to get a mortgage together soon. He has always made me laugh. My family loves him and so do I. The problem is with his mental health. He is depressed. I've encouraged him to go to therapy and see his doctor about antidepressants and he did both and is taking them. I've dealt with depression myself and have tried to be supportive and listen to him and give him advice for things that help me. Nothing seems to have changed, though. He's still not interested in socializing and is barely motivated to do anything. I feel like I'm the only one who puts any effort in our relationship, and to be honest, my needs are being neglected and have been for a while. I do have so much empathy for his situation, but clearly, as I'm messaging you guys, it's at the cost of my happiness. What should I do? I've talked honestly to him about it, and he says he will change, but he never does. Thanks so much, guys. Much love and happiness to you both. That's a great question,
because really
I feel
question.
Like a lot of people have been in that situation or are currently in that situation.
Yeah. I think you should write a letter to him about all the things that you just told us. And it sounds like you've communicated to him like this before. But I think maybe he needs to see all of it in a sequence to understand what he's putting you through.
And maybe understand like that he's hurting you.
Exactly.
Because maybe when you bring it up, because you're so empathetic, you don't want him to feel bad that he's hurting you, but he needs to know that it's hurting you. I remember a couple fights when we were first dating, me and Steve, where I would get so frustrated and I would like react in anger, and it didn't really make him want to change. That you're reacting in anger, but when I let him know that it hurt me,
yes,
that it actually like what he was doing was hurting me. And one time I like it happened so much that I just cried. And he saw that side of it.
Yes.
It made him change that thing forever.
Correct.
Yeah.
It was the way that you delivered the message. And honestly, it's one of those things, too, where we were talking about this on the way here for some reason. We were talking about how we used to go to parties sometimes.
Oh, right.
And you used to want to leave. And
we used to go to parties sometimes.
Well, I know, right? We all did. But you used to want to leave quicker than I did, right? Mm-hmm. And I would try to work the room and like try to say bye to everybody, and sometimes it would take way longer to leave.
Yeah,
and
it would take like hours to leave. Like once saying, "Hey, I've had enough. I'm at my meter.
I think I'm
like,
close to. I got to get out.
I got to get out." Like then it would take 2 hours to leave.
Right.
After
so
that,
I was being selfish. Obviously, I was not listening to your needs at all. I was just sort of trying to get mine in still because I wasn't done socializing yet. And so I was, you know, excuse making by still working the room and all that stuff, even though I'm like, oh, no, I'm on my way out, But I wasn't on my way out. And it took one night where finally we were leaving this one place and Nikki just broke down and she's like, you know, like it hurts my feelings that you do this to me. And I never did it again after that.
Yeah.
It really woke me up that it was affecting you like that. I didn't know. I just thought it was like, hey, I just want to leave, right?
Yeah.
Or like, I want to go sleep or
and
whatever.
And because I empathize too, like, I'm like, well, I know you like to socialize and I don't want to be like a burden. Like, I don't want to be a party pooper, you know? So I'll like just bite my tongue, even though it like sometimes physically hurts me to try to stay awake when my body wants to go to sleep.
Yes.
And that's why I've fallen asleep at so many people's houses and parties and people make fun of me for it. But like, I can't stop my body from falling asleep, and then trying to stay awake physically hurts me.
Yeah. So, and while we were getting to know each other,
yeah,
that stuff kind of filled in a lot of the blanks.
It's like a, it's kind of an embarrassing thing too, because I'm like, I don't want to be that person. Yeah,
it's not embarrassing.
So like, he didn't, you didn't really see like the hurt side.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and I didn't see the, you know, that when you do fall asleep in people's houses, everyone loves you. Nobody was like clowning on you or anything. But then when you wake up, you feel embarrassed. So like, stuff like that, I wasn't like taking into account. I was just sort of seeing the one side.
Yeah.
So I think if you are able to reach him on an emotional communication,
right,
maybe he'll understand. If he truly does love you, maybe he'll understand that he really does need to change. And by change, you want your needs met. And that's really all you're trying to get at is, hey, I have needs that are not being met, and I would love if you would come meet me in the middle.
Yeah. And also, if he's on antidepressants right now, because you mentioned that, like, drugs work differently on different people, and that could be messing with him. Sometimes that actually sucks the motivation out of you. I have never personally taken antidepressants, but a lot of my friends that have been on antidepressants feel less motivated. Like, yeah, their depression is gone, but also they don't feel like doing anything.
Yeah, it changed something.
Yeah.
I've heard that.
So, yeah.
Some people have great time on those things,
right?
Obviously.
But, and there's different types too. So like, maybe he just needs to get on a different brand. I don't really know enough about it, but good luck.
Good luck.
Also, you're very young. Like, you started dating when you were 18. Or 19, 18 or 19. I think people change a lot. Like, I remember dating a guy when we started at 18, and I broke up with him at 23 because we were just very different people by the time that happened.
Yeah.
Like, a lot happens in that stage of life. So, good luck to you. Hope things get better.
You got this.
You got this, girl. All right. One more relationship question. All of these have been relationship questions, but there haven't really been any other type of questions, so sorry
that
there's so much relationship questions.
I forgive.
Hi Nikki and Steve from QC Canada. Is that Quebec? I don't know. QC Canada, please keep this anonymous.
Quebec City.
I would like to start by letting both of you know that I started watching you guys last year, and I love you guys. I love how hilarious and straightforward you guys are and your energy. Thank you. Why did you just start last year though?
I mean, seriously?
We've been around.
We're over 100 episodes. Time. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks. Go back and watch all of them.
Wow, what a backhanded compliment.
So my question is about dating life. So I'm 25 years old, turning 26 soon. I have been single for over 2.5 years. My last relationship lasted for 4 years, and that relationship was really physically and emotionally abusive.
Oh, shit.
Dang. So I've been focusing on myself a lot and started to feel like am I getting old? I've tried dating online twice and I'm not really into it. It didn't turn out as good as I thought it would be. I'm an introvert and it's really hard for me to open up to someone that I've just been talking to online, and I get anxious swiping people's pictures right or left without knowing their personality, and the fact that you don't know if you'll match with the profile you finally like after swiping for 30 minutes. When in the past, dating was never supposed to be stressful. So do you think that people still meet in real life, or am I just being very close-minded person and I should really force myself to talk to people online? Is it normal to feel this way? My sister and some of my friends are telling me that it might happen when you meet people in real life, but that'll take forever. I don't know what to do anymore. Thank you. So that was it's hard to read. But I don't think I would feel comfortable dating online, really, but I haven't had much experience with it.
We don't know. We're boomers. We don't know.
I mean, like, I know a lot of people that have had success with online dating apps, and I believe that you can find that person. And I also believe that it's almost streamlined the dating process, because you used to have to meet someone in person, then go on a date, then discover you don't really like their personality, and then you're like, you're wasting a lot of physical time. Whereas like online dating, you can talk to a lot of people first, messaging wise, and then
I think, frankly, and look, I could be dead wrong about this. This is just my judgment. I have the ability to kind of throw paint on the wall sometimes, and I know I'm doing that here.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that online dating, there's a key waste of time, and that is the time period between you saying hi to them and messaging them on all this shit. I think all that is basically just like putting the lure on the hook. And then once you get them on the deck is when you go on the date with them. And then, because until you see their mannerisms, the way that they talk, the way that they look at you, the way that they are, like the way that they smell, the way that
their voice,
they act,
the way they carry themselves.
Right.
Yeah.
It's all moot until that point. Like all that is just a buildup to your answer to whether you actually like them or not.
What about like FaceTiming?
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
I think that stuff's great.
Yeah, what have you tried that at all?
I would try that for sure.
Yeah, because it doesn't say in here. It just sounds like you've been like texting them.
The faster you can get from the yeah, I like that too. How cool.
Yeah.
Like just getting to the real shit, which is like actually seeing them on a phone or something.
Yeah, that was my least favorite part of dating. Right. But I also would only like go on dates with guys that I had been friends with so that I already knew their personality so we could skip all that.
Yeah, and there doesn't have to be a lot of pressure to it either. It's like, yo, I got 15 minutes. You want to just hop on real quick and talk real quick? It doesn't have to be like, yo, we're going to get on here forever.
Yeah, but I understand the introvert side. That's like, I get anxious getting on a phone call.
Sure, but you also got to meet the person for a date. Yeah, you do. Too. It's just about sacking up and going, okay, we're going to do this right now.
I think what I would do is get ready and treat it, because right now we're all in a weird situation with this pandemic thing. I would treat it like I was going on a date. So I'd get dressed and ready and like the whole like ritual of like getting ready.
It's great.
And then treat it like we're on a physical date when we're FaceTiming. But I would need to have like to see their eyeballs.
That's what I need.
I need to see that.
I need to see
it. I think that's why I don't like phone calls. Mm-hmm. Is that it stresses me out because the nonverbal language, I feel like I read that more than the words people are saying. And so not being able to see that is like, gives me anxiety.
Or even just their attention level.
Yeah,
I've been on dates with people who I'm like, what the fuck is with you? Like, why don't you just look me in the eye or like pay attention to what we're talking about? Like, you seem like you're somewhere else.
Yeah,
like stuff like that helps you understand if you like somebody or not. If they're gonna be like in the middle of a conversation spacing out, you're like, fuck this, I don't need this shit.
Right. Yeah. So what's the like the main question? Are you being closed-minded and should I really force myself to talk to people online? I mean, maybe getting out of your comfort zone is good. Yeah, yeah. I think so. Because being closed-minded is just saying like straight up, it's not for me. I don't do this. Like you are being a little closed-minded there.
That's why we're not against dating apps at all. We just have never used them.
We're too old. We're old.
Yeah.
But also you're not getting too old. Come on. You're 25 turning 26. You're fine. You're fine. We didn't start dating until I was almost 27.
Yeah.
And Steve was older than that. So,
well, for chicks in LA though, you were way up there. So
true. I was still playing 18 to 24 though. So
I'll say.
Just saying.
Played that for me a couple times.
Thanks. Thank you, everybody, for all of your questions. If you have a question, you could always email us, podcast@nikki.limo. I check them, maybe not right away. So the people that have titles from March that are like, urgent, please help, I kind of just skimmed past that one.
Yeah, I mean, sorry about that, urgent.
Because we try not to do like so many Q&As like all the time.
Yeah.
And then we're trying to get to everybody. So it may not get answered urgently, but maybe you relate to another person that has a similar question.
Hopefully. We're counting on it.
Anyway, subscribe. Also, download the episode. It really helps us out. Also, yes. Tell your friends about it. If you got something from this podcast episode, tell your friends about our podcast. We've not been doing a good job promoting it. We need help.
Spread the good word. Spread the good word. Send it to a family member. Send it to a friend.
Buy us a billboard, please.
Send it to a lover.
Or I guess a banner on a website would do better than a billboard at this time.
Good. That would be very good.
Yeah. Anyway, we love you guys. There's some shit that they didn't tell you. Bye.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly. which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.